Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel. Travis Ryer alongside Evan Ryer. It is No Sleep Teal. And I don't think a lot of people, Evan, down there on the banks of the St. John's River today slept all that well last night following the performance by the Jacksonville Jaguars in a what looked to be a narrow loss. It never really felt that close. You know, I know the Jags, give them credit, got themselves in a position there, thanks in part to just how bad the Cleveland Browns are, too.
Yeah.
The Browns with, 13 penalties and, you know, multiple issues, 2 of 14 on third down, and you still lose at home if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars. I hope you slept better, Evan, than a lot of people last night in Teal.
You know, I tried, you know, it probably doesn't look like it, but I tried my best. Yeah, I mean, that's about as brutal of like an early season loss I think you can have. And it's partially because of what happened last week. You know, it's all this, it's a combination of both, you know, where, you know, if you get the W this week, or if you get the W last week, the other one you go, oh, that really stings. But, you know, at least, you know, we're 1-1. Now it's, you know, it's kind of DEFCON, you know, 5 or whatever. Like, it's red alert.
You're yeah, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, but it's the you know, it's the Buffalo Bills and the Houston Texans.
Yeah, it's the
back-to-back. That's the train that feels
it's
like
the lights it's coming. Orchard.
Did you Park, get the right? sense? You know, we were there. We were in the state. I was in the stadium yesterday. But just watching it, did you get the sense that there was like a malaise over this team after what happened in the opener in Miami? Like, they just didn't have much energy? Or did you get the sense that maybe this was a team that realized what was on the line, even in week 2, understanding what's coming down the road, the uncertainty that you sense from this team, just the lack of confidence in a lot of different ways. And I think even from the standpoint of who the hell are we exactly, right? When you talk about identity, especially on the offensive side of the ball, I think that plays into a lot of what you pick up in terms of that vibe from this team, going back to really December of last year.
Well, I mean, you know, especially I think the malaise kind of started to wear off, but the opening quarter, you know, I mean, was just ridiculous in terms of how like empty and low level, like just low energy that the Jaguars were. I mean, you know, the offense does, you know, avoid technically a 3-and-out, but, you know, 5 plays in 1 first down. And then, you know, to follow that up, the Cleveland Browns immediately go on a 90-yard touchdown drive, and you're just like,
and the defense helped them on that.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not going to hammer the defense really at all today.
But that opening drive was rough.
That was a tone setter as much as the offensive ineptitude, I thought. Yeah,
absolutely. And, you know, not to mention that, you know, follow it up with 3 more points, and all of a sudden you're down 2 scores against a team that, you know, the Browns can keep a lead, obviously, with a 2-score lead. I don't see the Browns coming back, you know, if they are down 2 scores. So you've done the exact thing that, you know, you've really done the only thing that gives the Browns a proper chance to win this game, to make them favorites to win this game. And that's, and let them play with a lead, you know, and it was, you know, You then get
rough.
A field goal, but I just, it was gross.
You realized very quickly this was going to be an all day thing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I didn't feel good enough about the game going into it to think, oh, the Jags will come out. It'll be like the Colts game a couple of years ago or something,
right,
where they just hammer this team. And you know, yeah, the Browns are down guys too. I know the Evan Engram situation, pregame warmups, he goes out with the hamstring. Doug Peterson talked earlier today. Sounds like that's going to be a week-to-week situation. Jags had 3 or 4 other guys go down in and out based on Doug's comments. It sounds like those 3 or 4 guys could be available this week. Maybe Engram the most questionable at this point. But it wasn't the energy early, and it carried over in the stadium. Jags fans are great, man. In stadium, I don't think Jags fans get enough credit. They want to be a big part of the football game. But this team on Sunday never really gave them that opportunity. And look, whatever you think of the Browns, and they're bad right now. And again, they're down guys too, right? Nick Chubb, they're down Njoku, the tight end. They're down a couple of offensive tackles. But what they're not down is a defensive front seven. And they essentially went into that game Sunday and said, you know what? We think we can control this game with our front seven against that offensive line and that lack of a real run game. Didn't ask Deshaun Watson to win the game, really. You know, didn't convert third downs, but converted fourths. And, you know, did just enough to win. Jags committed enough mistakes to lose. You had a touchdown negated by an illegal shift by D'Ernest Johnson there in the second half. You had a Cam Little field goal go off an upright. And those things add up at the end of the day.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the thing is, like, I don't really think, you know, we should be just like how you were saying, like, overall the defense doesn't deserve a lot of hate for yesterday. Cam Little doesn't deserve, you know, a ton of extra criticism just because he had a, you know, a doink. You know, that's pretty unlucky. But if that field goal goes in at the end of the game when the Jaguars are, you know, at the Cleveland 27, but they need a touchdown, if they were down by 2 points, you kick a field goal and you do somehow exit that game with a W despite playing like dog crap. I mean, there's just so many different things. I mean, you get, you know, into the red zone twice, you kick two field goals, you can't get, you know, you don't get touchdowns on, you know, two of your three red zone trips. And then, you know, of course, little things like, you know, just like with the 3 points of Cam Little's miss, you have a, you know, a safety that, you know, if Trevor just gets rid of the ball there, you know, it's still, you know, a 3-point game. And again, you're at least entering overtime. I mean, just a complete, complete collapse.
Yeah. That safety felt like the Jags wanted to take a shot out of their own end. And I went into that play thinking they're going quick game here. They're just going to try to get 6 or 7 yards, get off the two. What a hell of a punt too, from the Browns in that situation.
Oh yeah.
Wow. To pin it. Yeah. Right there at the two. But they don't. They go with something that's going to require some time. And as was the case throughout the day, you know, we kind of went into this game thinking you got to take care of your edge guys, beginning with Myles Garrett, obviously. But it was a problem for the Jags on the interior, too, in dealing with some of those pass rush types. And again, I think whatever the Browns are right now, they know who they are.
Yeah.
And when I watch the Jags on offense, I don't know who the hell the Jags are. I know who they probably think they should be from a personnel perspective. They think with Trevor that he's a top 10 passer in the NFL. I don't know if he's truly, just when we're talking about pocket passers in the NFL, I don't know if Trevor's a top 10 guy. Probably close. You know, you got Travis Etienne at the running back position, more of a big play guy, versatile guy. You can throw it to him. Feel good about the wide receivers. Brian Thomas Jr. comes up big once again with a deep ball on Sunday. He did have a drop, but just down in and down out, it's kind of mystifying. You know, who is this? What is this offense? I'm almost to the point where I don't want to put a ceiling on Trevor, but is it almost time to just Ryan Tannehill him and change directions with your thinking and go, we're going to get a thumper back in here. We're going to get some people up front that can move people in the run game. And we're going to be tight and light. We're going to tighten up from the Mike Vrabel years. I don't know. You may not be ready to go there,
F. I'm not ready to say tighten up, but I will say that I would love to play some, you know, smash mouth physical football. I'd love to do that a bit more because I don't think, you know, after, you know,
just no physicality in anything really for this offense.
The entire
pass protection isn't passive, right? I mean, you got to be physical in pass protection too.
The entire Doug Peterson experience, you know, I wouldn't consider the Jags to be a physically dominant, you know, offensive team. You know, I don't really, but that's the problem is as nice as that would be to turn into that, how do you do that right now? I mean,
that's the problem right now. Like, it's too late.
What are you even like? What are you going to do?
But the point is, you're going to have Trevor Lawrence on your football team for a long time coming up here.
Yeah.
Right. By the way, but, Steve watching live here, Ev, says if Trevor got rid of the ball there, it would have been intentional grounding. Yeah, pretty much. But in that situation, it's also where you got to make them make the call too.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Get rid of the football. And I'm not on Trevor with that. I mean, again, the play call was to take a shot, was going to take some time. And he got pressure like he did on multiple occasions Sunday right up into his face. And, you know, it is what it is, Ev.
No, and, you know, I didn't want to say that, you know, he's solely at fault for that. I mean, at the end of the day, he's getting sacked, you know, and they, you know, so there's offensive blame for the offensive line. Also blame for play calling to say, hey, let's take the risk here. Let's do it right here. Let's not get, you know, a little bit further out or whatever. But, you know, it's a very bizarre one too, because, you know, I mean, Evan Engram, you know, going out right before the game, that's obviously like a game changer, but he wasn't being utilized in week one. So, you know, you're wondering about that. Christian Kirk had another just
one catch minus 1 yard,
targeted.
And with Evan out, you think, wow, his targets are definitely going to go up. Right.
Well, especially, yeah, he's the underneath guy. He's the guy you're looking at 8 yards down the field to, you know, catch the ball and run. And that wasn't happening at all. In fact, you know, it was the Brenton Strange game, which if Brenton Strange is kind of, you know, he's second in the team in targets in that game, 6 targets. I mean, I get it. He's now in Evan Engram's role. So, you know, he's going to get a little bit more attention, but you know, it doesn't really make sense in that regard. And it also doesn't make sense that, you know, Brian Thomas shows that he has some explosiveness. You got to fire at him more. I don't know what you
even
have
if
to
you
do.
Got to protect with 8.
Yeah.
Right?
Like
earlier
you have
in
to
the
give
game,
him more chances.
Try to go over the top to him. If you got to protect with 7 or 8, I would think, you know, maybe go there and get that guy. And even if you don't hit it, it sends the message early. And kind of helps out your other guys. Steve checking back in again. Steve's feeling it right now, Ev. He says, yes, forget playoffs. Are we even going to win a game this season? I just want to win right now. I hear you, Steve. And as we talked about, Bills coming up next. We'll talk about that later in the week a little bit more. This is more of a review from Sunday, a post-mortem, I guess you could say. And then the Texans, 2-0 Texans, coming up down the road too. Jags are going to win some games. I still believe that. I mean, I'm not to the point where I'm thinking, oh, here we go. First overall pick Jags all over again. Just look at Carolina. I mean, come on. Carolina's a team that I don't know is going to win a game. Going through a quarterback change, going from Bryce Young to Andy Dalton.
Good luck. Two games in.
But, I mean, there's legitimate reason for concern. That's what we're talking about today. And with a lot of that being on the offensive side of the ball, although again, I thought defensively early in the game and then even late after doing such a good job on third downs, the Browns hit a couple of big ones with Jerry Jeudy that were especially painful. So, you know, situational football has got to be better. Complementary football. You know, we just haven't really seen that from this team through two games and really didn't see it all that much at the end of last season.
Well, it's, you know, it's very stop start right now. These past 2 weeks have basically just been, you know, every single time the Jaguars kind of seem to get some momentum, they either shoot themselves in the foot or, you know, the other team, you know, finds a way to kind of get in there instead. You know, I think about like in the game on Sunday, you know, both of the past 2 weeks, no turnovers forced yet from the defense. Again, we're not here to harp on the defense, but at some point, there's got to be, you know, something, you know, you got
to. Did you think even with the tackle situation for the Browns that the Jags were able to affect Deshaun Watson enough? I thought they got in the neighborhood on multiple occasions. I know Trayvon one time it looked like working off a twist, looked like he was right there and he got shook a little bit by Deshaun. So give Deshaun some credit. He can still do some of that. But relative to his number, his contract number right now, that wasn't an elite guy that the Jags dealt with yesterday. Amari Cooper at the wide receiver position had a big drop in that game. I thought Jeudy came up big later. Elijah Moore was a bit of a problem early in the game. The secondary for the Jags, Evan, with Tyson Campbell out, no Darnell Savage in the game. What did you think of Monteric Brown? in the playback there, because they continue to kind of go through some guys because of some absences.
I think what we saw from Monteric Brown was we saw him, you know, do what he's really good at, which in the kind of shallow stuff as a tackler, all that stuff, very assured, you know. He had two tackles for loss in that game, blew up some, you know, kind of the quick game stuff. That was encouraging. He also got beat, you know, a few times, kind of expected that to happen. Overall, I don't think you can especially hate on the secondary. They limited, you know, Watson to 5.5 yards an attempt. I mean, it's not like he was picking up, you know, huge shots all the time. But, you know, I mean, Jerry Jeudy kind of terrorizing the Jaguars late really put a different kind of filter on that performance. Because, I mean, really, you know, Watson still only finished with 185 yards. You know, he was kind of looking like he might not get to 150, you know, as we were going into the game. But that's also partially because the Browns were up two scores. They definitely weren't thinking, hey, let's take more risks with Deshaun.
Yeah, it's crazy that Deshaun Watson is, what, a $250 million guaranteed quarterback?
And they're like,
and the Browns are trying to play around him.
Yeah.
But, hey, give Stefanski and that staff credit. I thought, again, as I said earlier, that's not a good Browns team, but at least the Browns know who the Browns are right now. And still have some strengths, obviously, on the defensive side of the ball, and just sort of went into that thing Sunday and said, look, we think our guys in our front seven are way better than your offensive line, and we're going to be able to kind of dictate from that perspective. Again, from an injury perspective, Evan, big shot that Tank Bigsby took on the kickoff return. I mean, that was huge, and it sounds like he's going to be okay. X-rays proved negative. Should be able to go, it sounds like anyway, for the Bills and Buffalo coming up next Monday night. Ingram, as we talked about, week to week. Cisco still has a groin that he's dealing with. Sounds like he's going to be okay as well. So given what we saw on Sunday, not the worst case scenario from a health perspective heading up to New York State.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like they've dodged, you know, the extra, you know, insult to injury kind of stuff of, you know, if they had been, you know, if it had gotten even worse and it was like, well, you're not going to have Bigsby, you're not going to have whatever, then, you know, then it'd really, really be tough to look at the next 2 weeks and feel any form of optimism. But if they can, you know, get these guys back, then, yeah, there's absolutely, you know, a much better chance for them to win. But even then right now, I don't know. Like, it's hard for me to even find positivity in Bigsby coming back, because this is something we've talked about off the podcast, but, you know, we're, I think, both wondering who should be starting, who should be the feature back at this point, and who should be the complimentary one, because I just don't know if Etienne is a three down guy or if he's ever going to really be that. Is he more useful as kind of a guy that you use in a gadget sense, whereas Bigsby's the guy that, you know, you kind of saw in week one where he, you know, ran the ball 14 times. You know, he was basically became the lead RB by the end of the game.
Yeah, if you're in an offense like the Dolphins, I love Travis Etienne in my offense, like most or those backs down there, Achan, those type of backs, man, that you can get in space, flip it out there to him. You know, every once in a while, hit them between the tackles with quick stuff. But that's not this offense, as we know right now. And so that'll continue. You know what? I'm not going to try to call for an upset of the Bills. It's still too fresh. The events of Sunday, I'm still a little traumatized, but I can see a performance kind of like what the Bengals put forth in Kansas City yesterday. Maybe not win the game, but do enough in a close loss or a very competitive game one way or the other to make you think, see, there's those guys, right? Now, the problem with that at this point at 0-2, it doesn't matter if you don't start winning some games. We're beyond that. So somehow, some way, you got to figure out how to get it done in Buffalo next Monday night. What have you seen just from a divisional standpoint? I guess that's maybe the silver lining in all this for the Jags, although the Texans being 2-0 isn't a great thing. But, hey, the rest of the division hadn't been much either.
No, I mean, you know, it's funny because I think I don't know what's in the water in the AFC South, at least for the other three teams outside of Houston. But for some reason, all three fan bases were thinking like, oh, no, we're actually going to be pretty good. I think we're going to make the playoffs this year. Like you saw Titans fans saying, oh, well, Will Levis is going to take the step forward. And then they're, I mean, they're in a worse place than the Jaguars, I would say. Like they have dropped games in more brutal fashion the past 2 weeks than the Jaguars have. And that's saying something. The Colts have just, you know, they had to play a good Texans team and then kind of just laid an egg yesterday. And then meanwhile, the Texans are kind of just handling business. Although I was saying this to you, I think a little bit through text, like the Texans had lost yesterday. I do think that, you know, maybe we're at DEFCON 4 instead of 5 because you're only one game back. You know, you're thinking, okay, well, shoot. Yeah. And they lost to a Bears team that also beat the Titans. Like, what is going on there?
The problem with the Texans Sunday night and watching that game for me, Evan, was that defense. Forget about C.J. Stroud and the receivers, which
they look
and Joe Mixon is, I'm on record. I hated the Texans signing Joe Mixon because he brings that physicality. Yeah. To that position that can be a problem for
he got his ankle rolled really bad and still came back
went and got an x-ray and came back. That is the kind of dude I know. Maybe in terms of dynamics within your team he might not be for everybody, but I know on game day what I see from Joe Mixon is a guy that I want in my backfield. And And again, offensively, you kind of know what that deal is with Tunzel at left tackle and those receivers. But that defensive line for the Texans, when I think about this Jags offensive line and this Jags offense in general right now, I get more hope thinking about the road game in Buffalo than I do the road game in Houston. And that's understanding Josh Allen can still be a real problem. I just think the Texans might end up being a tougher matchup for the Jags than the Bills coming up.
Oh, absolutely. And also a secondary that's probably even after Buffalo will more than likely not be back to 100% health, may not even have Tyson Campbell back. Enjoy going up against that fleet of receivers, you know, in Houston, who like yesterday didn't even have that great of a game for as good as that.
They don't really need Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, you know? He's extra. But that's the thing is that when Tank Dell had a pretty rough game yesterday, he was dropped two passes, noticeably wasn't, you know, at his best. When you don't when you have a guy not perform, but you have a group that deep, okay, well, Stephon Diggs, come on. Like, you can help, right. Help a little bit more.
Whatever. John Metchie struggles to get
on the field.
It's
insane.
And he'd be a really good 2-3 for somebody else.
Dalton Schultz is a great tight end, and he struggles to get tight, gets targets.
Here's the thing,
Nico Collins is a
he was a beast last night. He was a lot. But here, the quarterback situation I wanted to ask you about, because going into the season, we're talking about Trevor and CJ being in their own thing in the division, and then Levis and Anthony Richardson kind of being in that second tier. But two games in, would you say Trevor's still more in a group with Richardson and Levis than he is with Stroud? I still see these horrific moments from Levis and Richardson.
Oh, yeah.
They do some things that are just highlight reel worthy, and then they do some things that are just catastrophic. But – is Trevor still, in your opinion, closer to C.J. Stroud than he is to those other two quarterbacks?
I think he is. I do think he is. But it's getting to the point where you got to show it. Like, you can say all this different stuff about talent, about overall ability, arm strength, whatever you want to, But at this point, it feels like unrealized potential with Trevor.
Where's the it with Trevor? That's still what you're kind of waiting on. That whatever it is, and understanding you got to have help around you, but this is a $50 million guy now. So you're expecting him to lift boats. And in the first couple of games, it hasn't felt like that. Now, guys have let him down. I'm not saying they haven't, but you get the sense that the CJ Strouds, the Mahomes, even Aaron Rodgers at 74 years old, we still see it from. They still have that ability, especially in key moments, to kind of turn the tide. And I just don't think from a personality standpoint that's ever going to be Trevor. So if you're thinking he's going to be that inspirational guy from that perspective, that's not how he's wired.
Yeah, I mean,
he's going to have to do it through his play on a consistent basis.
Yeah, that's the thing is I think of in chess and other games, there's a thing called a win condition, which essentially your win condition is supposed to be, what is your strategy to win? Like, where are you going to basically find the advantage that your opponent cannot deal with? And with Trevor right now, I don't know what he's doing to provide that. You know, if Trevor was just unbelievably accurate from 10 yards and then, like, if he just never missed throws and it was always on the money and they could always just hit this quick game stuff and consistently move the ball, which they're able to do, I would say, well, but not great, not elite. So it's not there. It's okay. Well, maybe he's really great at taking downfield shots. That's never been Trevor's game, really. Like, no.
Time to tighten up.
Maybe he wins games with his legs. He doesn't do that either. He had, a really nice run yesterday, but he doesn't do that. So we have to figure that out. The Jaguars have to figure it out. Like, what can we do? You know, what are the strengths of Trevor Lawrence's game that we can highlight and kind of use to abuse the other team? And, you know, you're so right about the leader thing, because I used to kind of get frustrated with Jaguars fans where over the past few years, you know, you would see a video of Trevor talking to the team in the tunnel or whatever. And, you know, Trevor haters would just say, like, guys, is this your leader? Like, you think this guy can lead? If you go watch the video from the tunnel yesterday,
I saw it.
Yeah. It's rough.
I give him credit for trying, but yeah, it's kind of cringy. It is.
It just, and he, you know, and that's obviously to be that guy too. You know, you got to pick and choose, like, yeah, whatever. But like, I appreciate him trying, because yes, you have to. You just got,
supposed to be that guy.
Just got paid. Like, you can't just walk out there and not do that if you're getting paid like that. But I just don't know if it's genuine. I don't know if it's if
I think it is for him. I think to him it's him being as genuine as he can be. It's how it's received, in that type of environment. We got Steve checking back in. He says Mac Jones is a lot more energetic than Trevor. Could Mac Jones somehow give the team a spark? Look, I've said it before, going back to the preseason, I think Trevor could use some of what Mac's got in that sort of area. And then Mac obviously could use some of the physical attributes that Trevor's got. We talk about items and issues for this Jaguar team though, right now, Trevor's not in my top two or three. I mean,
yeah,
he's not all that far down the list, but I think that's the problem here, is that the Jags have got more pressing issues starting really from guard to guard. I mean, if you can't protect your quarterback from the guys closest to him on the line of scrimmage, it's going to be tough for, I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Lamar Jackson, by the way, 0-2 now, right? Yeah. I mean, it's been kind of a weird start to this season. I think though, because you've seen it from guys like Lamar, maybe not as much in the playoffs, there's not as much panic probably within that B-more fan base as there is down here in Duval, because this, unfortunately, has been a little bit of a reoccurring theme for the fan base.
Yeah, I think, Baltimore is also in a situation where they've proven that they can, win a division, like, consistently. And, they're also looking at their division thinking, okay, well, the Steelers are 2-0 and they're leading the division. But, us and the Bengals, are 0-2. Like, the Bengals are probably the other team that you would have maybe considered to be second favorites to win that division. And, both of those teams are now 0-2. There's a lot of weird results all around the NFL. So there's reasons to not panic in that sense. But I just don't know if this Jaguars team is good enough to really warrant feeling, okay, like, calm down, like, it's going to work out. Like, I don't see it at the moment. And, you know, part of that is
you only play one true road game in the first month and a half of the season.
Yeah.
Now that's problematic too, right? Because even after Buffalo and Houston, you're going to Europe, you know? So it's like, we'll see you guys in late October, I guess. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it can just, you know, we talk about momentum like in games, but in season, you know, if you go 0-3, if you hit 0-4, I mean, I just don't like, I don't know what.
What's the number on 0-2 teams making the playoffs? I mean, it's like 10% or something.
It's a like 10% of teams that have gone 0-2 have made the playoffs.
I saw the stat from, I think it was DeRocco yesterday too. Trevor now 0-7 in his last seven starts.
Yep. The Jags have won one game in the last 8 games, and CJ Beathard was the starting quarterback. I mean, it's been a desert.
It's been a desert.
Speaking of, there's not an
oasis on the horizon here in the immediate future.
Speaking of last year too, like the red zone issues, I've never been more tired of anything in my life.
Red zone goes back to, can you legitimately run the football?
And like, they can't.
If you can bang it in the run game, you're typically a pretty good red zone team, not only because you can run it in, but the threat of the run helps you throw it in the red zone, right? You see these tight ends for these teams that score 10, 12 touchdowns a year. That's usually because they're part of teams that can run it on a consistent basis.
Right.
And that's not this team.
Yeah. And, you know, if you can't do that, then you need to have such a strong offensive identity that it's always clear that, you know, you're able to pick up your spots. And that's what's weird is that 2 years ago, you know, especially during the good run, you know, the back half of that 2022 season, you know, the Jags still weren't necessarily amazing at running the football. But they clearly had like a plan, and they were getting the ball to guys like Christian Kirk and Evan Engram in a consistent manner that made sense. And they, I would say, had a less talented offense than they do right now. So what's up? Like, it just doesn't make sense really at all. And you know, I don't know if there's anything.
Well, those teams still played complimentary football, right? Like, even if they weren't great offensively, 2017, you had a hell of a defense.
Yeah.
So kind of like the Browns on Sunday, you played to that strength. You kicked it good. You know, you held on to the football, possessed it, didn't turn it over, didn't put your defense in some tough spots. You don't really have that with this team, you know, with this Jaguars team. The defense at times has done some really good things through the first two games. But again, as we said yesterday, still had some issues early and late in the game, getting off the game, getting the game started, and then closing the game. So complimentary football, not a friend of this team either right now. You know, when again, I think about the sort of big picture prospects, schedule-wise, the second half of the season, you could make up some ground, especially where the division is concerned. But
wins
of any kind you got to have here in the very near future.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's desperate is the word I would use to describe like going into Buffalo on Monday. I mean, this team better play with a sense of desperation. You know, you don't want to see them, you know, flailing or whatever. You want to see a sense of confidence. But what you said earlier, you have to go be competitive in that game. If it's anything other than that, if you get, you know, boat raced on national television to go 0-3, I don't know.
Going to Houston on a short week.
And then, yeah, go enjoy that. And then, you know, I know the Jaguars have owned the Colts at home, you know, for the most part for the past decade. But if you're 0-4, I mean, it's just, it can get really bad really fast. Like, it's insane how fast things have changed because, you know, Trevor mentioned it. Everybody mentioned it. It was like, well, we had such a great training camp in preseason. It was like, well, that means Jack.
Just reaffirms what preseason means, right?
Yeah. It does not matter.
Yeah.
Like it matters.
The Chiefs went 0-3.
It matters in terms of your preparation. But yeah, your results, your, you know, well, we, no, you know, we went undefeated in preseason.
How you looked in joint practices against the Bucks and how, things like that.
How
would you rather be the Jags or the Bucks right now?
Yeah, dude, it's, I don't know. It's really tough. Like, it's really difficult to.
Well, I mean, I'm drinking red wine while we're doing this. I mean, that speaks to the.
You know, I've been considering, you know, different churches, different, you know, I've been trying to, you know, find a community to confide support in.
And that's kind of the thing that we started out talking about today too, like with Sunday. I came out of the game yesterday. I left the stadium yesterday thinking, I don't understand how they couldn't have more energy, you know, in that situation. But then I kind of thought about it, and I don't know if it was like lack of energy or if it was just like, I'm not really sure about what we're doing or who we are, like this lack of confidence and uncertainty. Almost like they felt the gravity of that moment and what that game meant. But then to go along with it, there just wasn't enough assuredness, self-assuredness, I guess.
From this team. I think, you know, the nature in which you lose the Dolphins game, you blew it essentially. I think that definitely jarred them a little bit, probably added, you know, a higher sense of pressure for that game. But it's also, I know it doesn't really matter and all that stuff, but just about every single person, whether it was Doug Peterson or Trevor Lawrence or anybody on the Browns, all of them commented that Trevor Bank sucked. That sucked.
And the Browns said afterwards, I think Myles Garrett commented afterwards,
where it's that, like, oh yeah, like
they heard about
it's
it
like
too.
A homecoming game, like,
oh, this
playing
is your house,
yeah, like, oh, like we're just gonna open the
walk
season
in your
with
trap
w
walk and, in your trap take over your trap, right?
And you know, when Doug was asked about it on Saturday or Friday, he just was like, yeah, yeah, it's, yeah, like,
what about Trevor's comments post game too yesterday when asked about the offense, and he just said, we suck.
Yeah, we suck. And he also, you know, players typically will say that, you know, it's an everybody thing, but they won't say that the coaching also had a bad game.
Right.
And he did directly say that yesterday. I am wondering. Insane. Yeah, I am. You know, he did.
Yeah,
say
I'm not. I don't care about the play calling administration anymore. I don't care if it's Press Taylor or
doing
if it's
it or, yeah.
I'm more interested in what are the concepts, you know, what's the plan here, you know, than I am who's calling the actual plays. Because two games in, we haven't seen anything consistently that speaks to this is who we are or who we'd at least like to be on the offensive side of the ball. Disjointed is the word I used for the graphic for today's show. And that's the word that comes to mind for me when I watch the Jags specifically on the offensive side of the ball right now.
Yeah. And, you know, something, you know, we've mentioned about just wanting to be kind of a more physical team, a team that, you know, maybe, yes, you know, truly does focus on the run. If you go look at NFL trends, play calling of this year, especially, it's already an extreme uptick in a return to the run. Teams are running the ball more than they have in probably a decade. And it's because, you know, it's the natural equilibrium of things, right?
Things come around.
Yeah, come back around, whatever. The Jags can try and hop on that trend, and that's probably for the best. But if they don't do that, like, you're basically going to be playing into the hands of defenses that are wanting you, they're daring you to pass the football.
Defenses are playing base nickel now.
Yeah.
I mean, even against 12 personnel, two tight ends, they're still rolling with five DBs.
Yeah.
And they're playing some two safeties, you know, deep safeties. And so they're kind of, at least pre-snap, the look is run the football at us. You know, we're not strong in the box. We got two safeties back. But you're right. That is an interesting look at that for sure in terms of trends and how things change and then come right back around in the National Football League. Evan, anything else before we get out of here? I know we're going to have a special guest coming up here on No Sleep Till in advance of the Buffalo game. Looking forward to your partner in crime, Mr. Dom Tibbetts, jump on with us.
He's going to give us the lowdown from the Bills perspective. Dom is a diehard football fan in general, but works for WKBW in Buffalo, is a sports anchor for them. Was on the Thursday night game. Don't know if you spotted him, but he was on the sideline a few times. Nice. And you can see him. But no, very excited to chat with Dom. We may be able to also, you know, have some fun conversations with him, you know, rather than.
Well, I'm getting the wings. I'm getting the wings.
Yeah, we're gonna get the advice on the food, and
we're gonna be up there.
Maybe he can, you know, at this point, you know, I just want to walk away from our experience in Buffalo having a good time. So if he can tell me where to go to get put through a table.
Marville.
Yeah. You know, where to tailgate or what to, you know, whatever that looks like, it should be a fun combo. So yeah, we'll have him on, and then, we'll be, just days away from making that trip up there. So
yeah, I want the wing recommendations. I don't need to go to all of them in Buffalo.
But yeah. Just give me the best. Give me the one,
the best wings in Buffalo. And I understand it's not Anchor Bar, which has been said to be the originator. There's some debate. About that,
Dom will show us that for sure.
And Beef and Weck, have you heard of those sandwiches?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, we can get one of those too. Dom did inform me that because the game's on Monday, he's got a Sunday evening off. So he said we will definitely be going.
Nice.
Yes. He can give us a little tour, whether it's wings, a beer. You know, we'll do it Buffalo style.
He'll be our guy Fieri.
It'll be our last supper before we watch the Jaguar. No.
Like I said earlier,
positivity.
I expect an almost bounce back performance.
The Jags will cover. The Jags will cover.
That's all I'm saying.
They didn't cover yesterday, but they will cover on Monday. So, just stay strong, y'all.
At least we can have fun with it, Ev, at the end of the day. Hey, Ev, appreciate it as always. Look forward to catching up a little bit later in the week.
Fantastic. I'll talk to you soon.
For Evan Ryer, Travis Ryer, thanking you for joining us right here on Ryer on YouTube. If you haven't subscribed to the channel as of yet, hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell. That way you're alerted to all of our content as it drops right here on Ryer on YouTube. And if you don't mind, a thumbs up, a like would help us out tremendously as well. For Ev, I'm Trav. Check you again real soon. So long, everybody.
See ya.